Turn in God's Word this evening to two places. First, in Malachi chapter 4, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4. Then, having read that chapter, we will turn to Luke chapter 1, where we find our text. Malachi 4, we'll read the 6 verses there, then Luke 1. Malachi 4, starting at verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. And the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And now we turn to Luke chapter 1. A New Testament passage where we find an angel of the Lord speak of the fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy, particularly the last verse of Malachi chapter 4. We read Luke 1, verses 5 through 17, and the text is verse 17. Luke 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without or outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We read that far in God's holy and inspired word. Fathers are a gift to the church. Not merely fathers, but faithful fathers are God's gift to His people that we are thankful for. Fathers who truly reflect the Heavenly Father and His grace to His children. Fathers who have faith, fathers who live out of that faith, knowing their forgiveness and seeking to live in thankfulness to their God. Such fathers are a gift to His people, the church. We're thankful for fathers because God uses them for the salvation of His church. I preached on this text in Cornerstone on a day called Father's Day, also at a baptism. And it's appropriate for us to consider this text because fathers are not only to be thanked or we are to be grateful not only for fathers on Father's Day, but for any day. Thankful to God, at least, for such fathers. And we considered baptism this morning also, and therefore appropriate for us to consider the duty of fathers and really the promise that God gives to His church through such fathers. To turn, we read, in verse 17, the hearts of the fathers to the children. That is a promise of what God will do for His church. We can put it this way. Fathers, godly fathers, converting fathers, are part of the prophecy concerning our very salvation, to make a people prepared for the Lord, the text concludes. This is a prophecy that we find in Malachi chapter 4, the last chapter in the Old Testament, the last verse in the Old Testament. In chapter 4, Malachi writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about the coming Messiah. In Malachi's mind, as a prophet of the Old Testament, as he looked ahead in the future about the coming Messiah, he saw the Messiah's coming as one coming. He does not distinguish between two different comings, but he focuses on the second coming of Jesus Christ. He speaks of the Messiah coming in His wrath and bringing fire to consume the earth. He speaks of the destruction of sinners as a warning to the sinners of the church, even in the Old Testament, among the people of Israel. And His call to the people of Israel who were walking in sin was, repent, convert, turn. That before Jesus, the Messiah, comes. But in order to prepare His people for Christ's coming, Malachi prophesies another grace of God. Not only that Jesus was coming, not only Messiah was coming, but that He would send another Elijah, someone with the spirit of Elijah, that is, who would be the forerunner of Christ, who would prepare our hearts so that God's people might repent before Christ's return. For we, the people, both before Jesus' first coming, and we the people after Jesus' second coming, will not repent, will not have our hearts prepared unless God first turns us. And Malachi says concerning this grace of turning our hearts, this prophecy, for He shall turn first the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. That's how the people would be prepared, through fathers. And 400 years later, after Malachi made this prophecy by the Spirit, we find the angel of God, as recorded by Luke, the angel speaking to Zacharias while he is in the temple. You know that story well, children. He is burning incense in the temple, praying to God while the people outside are praying. And the angel tells Zacharias the first announcement that he, in his old age with Elizabeth, would have a child. And this son, John the Baptist, would be this very Elias, this Elijah, the forerunner of Christ, to prepare the way for Christ. And then the angel quotes Malachi to show that John the Baptist is not only the fulfillment of the prophecy in Malachi, but fathers after John the Baptist are also the fulfillment of this prophecy of salvation. He, that is John, shall go before him. John shall go before Christ and the spirit of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and so on. So we consider this evening the turning of fathers' hearts to the children. The turning of fathers' hearts to the children. First, the father's turning, or the turning of the fathers. Second, the turning children. And then third, finally, the prepared people. Turning of fathers' hearts to the children first, the turning fathers, second the turning children, and then finally the prepared people. The Word of God this evening is describing a supernatural effect that Jesus brings upon the hearts of His people. And particularly a supernatural effect, a miracle, in other words, that Jesus by His Spirit works in the hearts of earthly fathers. Fathers who are members here in this church, fathers who have already been brought to glory and have heard to their souls, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Fathers of faithful fathers of the past, fathers today, and fathers of the church universal. The Word of God is speaking of a miraculous effect upon their heart. This effect, this work, conversion. Conversion. That's what the Word of God means when it uses that word turn twice in two verses, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." And verse 17 says, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers." That's talking about a concept in God's Word, conversion. Conversion. This conversion is an inner turning, though there will be external evidence, an outward changing of behavior. Conversion refers first to a spiritual and invisible turning of the heart, the soul, which a spirit does within. It's a changing of the mind. As the Belgic Confession puts it, it's a sweet and yet powerful bending of the will. So that although at one time fathers and all of us loved our sin, we clung to our sin, we enjoyed it, we desired it with everything that we had, now there is a turning, a sorrow for that sin, a hatred for that sin. "I don't want to do it again." Our hearts begin to cry, that conversion. And not only that, this bending, this turning of our wills, whereby at one time we fathers and all of us despised God, the Holy God, and hated the gift of Jesus Christ. And then consciously He works in our hearts this bending of our wills, a softening of our hearts, so that now we love Him. We love the Savior who has covered us in his precious blood, whom we have found out has chosen us from before the beginning of the world, before we even knew him, and has promised us eternal life because of the righteousness he gives us. That's the invisible turning he works in us. How does this conversion of fathers take place? Really, conversion of all of us, though the text mentions first fathers. We said already, by the power of the Spirit of Christ, but more must be said in line with the Word of God this evening. This conversion of fathers takes place through the preaching of men like John the Baptist. This is what the angel of the Lord is explaining to Zacharias in the temple about his son John the Baptist. About his son John the Baptist, the preacher of the New Testament, the angel says in verse 17, he shall go before him. John the preacher shall go before Jesus in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers. And the angel means, he's explaining what Malachi meant 400 years earlier, that John the Baptist is that one with the Holy Spirit, that was the same Holy Spirit in Elijah. And by that same powerful Holy Spirit, he would preach. And that would be the way, that would be the means that God used to turn hearts of fathers, turn the hearts of all his people. He will preach and bring that conversion. This John the Baptist, at the head of the New Testament, as that first preacher, represents preachers today. The text is speaking not only about John the Baptist's preaching, but of every preacher who comes with that same spirit which was in Elijah. Preacher like your minister, a preacher like Pastor Paul Raj in India, a preacher who has been rightfully ordained by the church and preaches with that spirit of truth. Through that preaching, he works a miracle, a supernatural effect upon the hearts of us and converts us, fathers in particular. Fathers who are converted are the fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi. Not perfect fathers. Far from it. Not fathers who think they're perfect, but fathers who turn. Who turn from their sin. Who are not only converted, but who are daily converting. And these fathers do not take the preaching lightly then. We praise God for fathers who are the fulfillment of this prophecy, who are not bored with the preaching, who do not reject the preaching, or who sleep in the preaching, but fathers who have been changed, whose hearts are becoming more and more like Father God's heart through the preaching, who seek to embody less of the father of darkness, their old father, the devil, and seek to show forth the father of light instead. And they receive the means to do so through the preaching. They're interested in it. They're converted under it. They cherish it. But the prophecy of Malachi and of the angel of the Lord is not only of fathers converted by Christ's Spirit under preaching, like John the Baptist's preaching, but it's also about fathers converted unto an affectionate teacher of their children. Converted unto an affectionate teacher of their children. Hence the title of this evening's sermon, The Turning of Fathers to Their Children, and the words of the text. Now that's an odd sounding title at first, is it not, children? That's a unique way to talk about conversion, because usually when the Bible talks about turning or repentance or conversion, it uses the same word here, turn, but it speaks of turning to God or turning to Christ, or even turning in faith. But now here in Malachi 4 and in Luke 1, we find this phrase, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now, obviously that does not mean the same thing as turning to believe in something, as how the Word of God sometimes uses that word turn. It doesn't mean that fathers begin to believe in their children as they would believe in God, though that is a danger for parents also, to make their children become idols. But what Malachi and the angel are saying here is that fathers who are truly converted, fathers who truly turn by the Spirit of the Elijah under the preaching, will surely care for their children. The sure evidence of conversion in the heart shows itself in their care, their affection even, for their children. They give to their children the attention they crave, not only, the world knows that needs to happen, but they turn from their selfishness that we fathers by nature have, to that selfless love for our children. Concretely, to put it very specifically, this is what the text is prophesying about, the wondrous conversion of fathers. Fathers listen really closely to the preaching, and then they, when they come to church, it's not to mess around, it's not to have the gospel go in one ear and out the other, but then the fathers take this word preached. By the Spirit of Elias, they confess. It's not a man up here merely, but God's Word brought forth by His Spirit. And they take that. And they don't forget that, especially not right away. But they turn with that Word that has convicted their hearts, that has excited them, and they carefully apply it to their children's lives. They discuss it with their children. They simplify it for their children. They repeat it to their children who may not have heard it the first time. They break it down. Knowing their children better than the minister himself, they relate the Word of God to their sons and daughters. Converting fathers that the text speaks about cannot keep it inside of them. They become the children's pastor. They want to speak of the gospel to their children. They want to speak about the holy life that Christ gives them. They want to reveal Jesus, to sum it all up, to their children. Because these fathers, you see, having sat under the preaching, having been converted, have the Spirit of Elias also. So that while they do not hold the office of minister, they are able and they have the right to preach or witness to their children. That's the Word of God. That's the prophecy, the promise of what God does for the salvation of His people. And one important detail of the converted father's turning of his heart to his children is that their hearts turn, the text makes that point in particular. And the word heart there, their hearts turn to their children, is not only referring to the spiritual turning we already mentioned, that it's an invisible turning of the heart first, but it's speaking about an affectionate turning. Christ's Spirit uses the preaching to soften the father's heart so that his heart becomes more soft, because by nature we fathers know that our hearts are very hard. Stubborn, we can put it. With a lack of affection for our children. Many of us hard toward them. Harsh even. Fathers who turn to their children with their hearts, as the text speaks of, are not doing it coldly. It's not a mere paying of the bill for Christian education, though that is part of the caring for our children, of course. But when the text speaks of hearts, it's speaking of that personal involvement in the lives of our children, that what we sing about, the tender love a father has for his children. Dear, that's what a father has as his heart turns to his children. Caring for his child, his son, his daughter becomes not merely a job, but a privilege. Not merely because his wife has included it on his honey-do list, so he feels like he has to do it. And so that there's this outward cold shell of a body that forces himself to come home for dinner on time and to leave the man cave and to sit with his family. And his heart's not in it, his mind is somewhere else. Now these converted fathers turn with their hearts to delight in their children. The implication, of course, is that mothers, in their conversion, also turn toward their children. They have an affectionate care with their hearts for them also. Mothers, as wives, help the father. She is a helper fit for her husband to do this. But the emphasis of the scripture here is fathers. Convert in this way. They have the main responsibility. Not mothers. But fathers have the main responsibility. The negative implication is this: fathers whose hearts are not turned to their children, meaning fathers who have no affection to their children and continue in impenitence in that way, fathers who neglect their children, especially their children's spiritual health, who refuse to listen to the preaching and repent, who care more for the dollar than for their daughter, and more for sales than for their sons. Such fathers need yet to be converted. That's the implication. Because the prophecy of God's word, which must come to pass, is that when He saves, when He converts fathers, they will, with their hearts, turn to their children. And while there is that negative rebuke implied, the text is not, first of all, a command. It's not, first of all, a rebuke, but it is a promise. A wonderful promise. It really gives hope to us weak fathers, we weak fathers. While we're weak, part of our salvation is that Jesus Christ forgives us, not only, but by His power, as part of our salvation, turns us to become more and more like our Heavenly Father toward our children. The glorious effect of the Spirit turning the hearts of fathers to their children is this: that the hearts of the children then also turn. Hearts of the children are converted under the ministry of the fathers who sit under the preaching. There is, by God's grace, conversion of our children. That's the prophecy of Malachi 4, verse 6. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. This is a normal order in which Jesus saves: preacher to father, father to children, and children through the Father to Christ. It's not only a prophecy of Malachi, but it is what the angel repeats and even commentates on in Luke chapter 1. That might not seem so at first glance. It seems as though the angel quotes Malachi 4, verse 6, but stops and does not quote the second part. He says, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. But we don't read, as we read in Malachi 4, verse 6, to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. And yet he does say it. But he shows a commentary, an inspired commentary on Malachi 4, verse 6. The word disobedient in Luke chapter 1 refers to the children. And the word just or righteous refers to the converted fathers. The angel means then, the disobedient children will turn to the wisdom of the righteous fathers. That's the promise. This is how Jesus will save, the angel is prophesying, the normal process of salvation. Preachers to fathers and fathers to children and children, disobedient as they are to their righteous fathers. Now, of course, there are exceptions. There are some converted fathers whose hearts have turned to their children and are turning to their children. And yet God chooses to their sorrow not to convert their child. There are some unconverted fathers who do not instruct their children and neglect their children. And yet God, by His grace and mighty power, chooses to save them under the preaching of a missionary or under the teaching of others. They're witnessing to them. And then there is the beautiful exception of a single mother who raises the children by herself because she has a husband who has died, or a husband who has left in divorce. Through the mother's instruction and by the help of the church, God graciously saves these children still. But the prophecy of God's word is that this is the norm. This is usually the way in which He saves families. Through fathers, converted fathers. And you might say, and you might ask, perhaps as a young person, maybe a parent, but aren't we already saved as children? Born in the line of believers, in the covenant, why do we need this work of fathers to us and this turning of our hearts? People of God, every one of us needs to be converted and to be converting. Yes, it is true that even those born in the line of the covenant, those born to believers, the children of believers, are elect, not all of them, but many of them. Yes, it is true that God, even when the child is yet in the womb, plants a seed of regeneration in his heart or her heart. And parents have no need to doubt of the salvation of their children who die in the womb or who are born and die soon afterward. We may have confidence in that. And yet, let it not be a misconception among us, parents, fathers, and young people, children, having been born, as we grow up, there must be conversion to show forth evidence that we are elect, that we are regenerate. We are by nature depraved, totally depraved. As we saw this morning in the forum again, our children are conceived and born in sin and therefore are subject to all miseries, yet condemnation itself. Our beautiful daughters brought to baptism are ugly at heart, with a desperate need for salvation, It's not a joke. Don't joke about this depravity. It's something to turn from. It's something to hate. It's something to flee, to convert from. The angel of God in verse 17 describes our children this way. They need to be converted because verse 17 speaks of them as disobedient. He calls the children disobedient. And the literal meaning of that is unpersuadable. It's incompliant. So hard, so rebellious that that teenager will not change. And each of us have experienced that personally ourselves. If we're teenagers or have been teenagers or have had children as teenagers. So hard and rebellious, we will not change. We cannot change. That shows the deadness of our hearts. And being a reformed husband and wife in a Protestant Reformed church cannot do a thing for them. It's not in the genes that they are saved. It's not in our persuasive arguments that they are saved. And yet God promises wondrously, graciously, I will turn them. I will turn them. I will give them that faith. I will give them that regeneration. I will work in them this conversion. I will take the unpersuadable hearts and I will persuade. I will take the incompliant heart and I will bend. I will take the dead heart and I will give life. I will take the ugly heart and I will give beauty, a spiritual beauty. I will take that sinner and I will save. Miraculously. Without any need of us. And yet, this is the normal way. Through fathers. The angel prophesies, and the disobedient, referring to the disobedient children, will turn to the wisdom of the just, or literally the wise thoughts of the righteous. Children will see the wise thinking of their righteous father. The word righteous there does not mean, very importantly, does not mean that fathers are perfectly righteous of themselves. It doesn't even, first of all, mean that the children will see many righteous actions of their fathers, though that, we pray, is the case as we convert. But the main idea of that word righteousness or the just refers to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which the fathers claim as theirs. Children, you see, will see their fathers living out of faith in Jesus Christ, confessing that though they are great sinners, they have the forgiveness of God through Christ. Children will, most importantly, see this. Fathers, listen. Fathers, if you don't listen to anything else, listen. Now, they will see their fathers sorry. Sorry for their sins. Not seeking to uphold their own righteousness and stubbornness. Not seeking to preserve their reputation among their children by blaming their wife or blaming someone else. Not in pride, wanting to defend themselves all times so that their children never hear. A humble sorrow. The children will. They must. Your dad say, I'm sorry. Yes, I've done it again. I've lost my temper. I've not taught you well enough. I have to be a better father. My priorities aren't right. But I claim Christ as my Savior. I lean upon Him as my righteousness. others. In that way, as children see that wisdom, you see, of the righteous Father, the Lord works in their hearts. So the young person, who we think is as stubborn as no one else, will say, I want to be like that. Because I know myself to be a sinner also. And I want that same forgiveness and righteousness free from Jesus. And from disobedience, they turn and they are converted. This is the prophecy of Malachi. This is the word of the angel of God to Zacharias and to us to verify the truth of this prophecy. It's how the Spirit works. And in this way, not only are families saved, fathers, children, but whole churches. Notice the end of verse 17, the goal. To make ready the people prepared for the Lord. The people there refers to the church, the elect. All God's prepared for Christ's coming. In Luke 1 verse 17, the angel speaking to Zacharias and to the church before Christ's first coming. He's speaking about how John the Baptist, the preacher, will prepare fathers and their children, converting them before Christ first came so that they might receive this Messiah. But we must realize that the prophecy of Malachi, which the angel quotes here, is not only for the people before Christ's first coming. It's for us. In fact, the prophecy in Malachi is mainly for us who await Christ's second coming. You remember when we read Malachi? Malachi focuses upon Christ's second coming. Jesus coming in the end. He says in verse 1 of Malachi, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. We know that's Christ's second coming, yet to be. The prophecy is for more than the people before Christ's first coming, but it's for us as we await Christ's second coming. It's for the church that needs to be prepared before Jesus returns to bring the wrath to come. That's a warning. The wrath is coming. Hell is real, both body and soul. And those who do not turn, who refuse to turn, must suffer that just wrath of God. But the grace is, Jesus will turn us. God, by His sovereign, powerful hand, will turn us. He will prepare us for this. In the text, we find two different words for prepare. Verse 17, to make ready is one word for prepare. And then we read, to make ready a people prepared a second time for the Lord. Why the repetition? Because the first word for prepared emphasizes our responsibility. We prepare as preacher, as fathers. We prepare our people. We prepare ourselves. And yet overarching all of this is God. He prepares. He's the one who sovereignly does it through us. He does the saving work. But He does use us. Fathers. And to give us fathers some urgency in this, I close with this. We need to be active in our calling as fathers to prepare our children. Sometimes God speaks to us in His Word. Most often He does. Sometimes He speaks to us through difficult sorrowful events in our lives, when God takes our young children through death, we find comfort. We find comfort in knowing that He has saved them and He has prepared them for heaven. Go and prepare a place, He says. But every father then with their child still alive learns this lesson also. Is my family prepared? Is my son? Is my daughter ready for the Lord? Father, since you and I do not know if we have one more year with our son or daughter, do not know when Jesus will return in His second coming. Today, turn ye, by the Spirit of Elijah, turn ye unto the children. And children, young people, to the wisdom of your fathers. And this is how God prepares you, His church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, may Thy Holy Spirit move among us, especially among fathers and mothers of our church, that we might in a small way begin to live like Thee, our parent, to our children. Cause the tender, personal, affectionate love that Thou hast shown to us to come forth out of hearts believing in Jesus for our righteousness. And let conversion happen, not only today, but again and again. Sanctify us, we pray, and we thank Thee that Thou hast done so. Thou hast done what Thou hast promised. Surely do that for us, Thy people. With that confidence, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.